From atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for August the 16th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is our one of two and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. What are the great peaceful restorative solutions we absolutely still have at our fingertips? And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, I feel like Rocky. I'm getting stronger. Yes, indeed. Hopefully I sound a little bit better as well. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips, always on your radio. Wow, the COVID tried to take me out, and man, it was brutal. It almost killed me, but I am a COVID survivor. And the best part about it all is I have natural God-given immunity. How do you like them apples? Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Quick recap of, it wasn't yesterday's show. That was the Sabbath. We take a rest every Sabbath. But on Saturday, we were indeed live. We had a doctor, I'm sorry, we had the good sheriff with us, Richard Mack, CSPOA.org. That's a partnership between citizens and local law enforcement. Sheriff Mack encourages us all to back the sheriff. CSPOA.org, an organization to get that done. Become a lifetime member today, as I am one as well. CSPOA.org, that's the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. We talked about no COVID-19 vaccine, no compassion for you. Oh, a brutal agenda by the, what do you want to call it, the health community, now starting to have no compassion on folks that won't take the vaccine. What a shame. First, do no harm is their whole purpose. Most people that got into healthcare did so because they care about their fellow beings. But now a rift. There's a fault line everywhere, folks, and they're finding one right now over vaccinations big time. No COVID-19, no compassion for you. I pray that doesn't permeate the ranks of our healthcare people. Pray that we can be all on the same side here and say, you know what, I know the vaccine discussion is a very bitter pill, a very divisionary discussion, but let's have respect for one another's decisions. And some people have reasons to not take the vaccines. Some people have reasons to take the vaccines. Let's have a little bit of civility and respect and appreciation for one another saying, you know what, I may not agree with your decision, but I respect your decision to be yours. And yours alone. Let's have compassion everywhere we go. Please, ladies and gentlemen, please, I beg of you. We also talked about the CDC corrects COVID case count data after Florida Department of Health complains. Turns out they put 3 days of data in 1 day, making you believe there was a big, massive death spree, whatever you want to call it, and there wasn't even close. Anyway, the bottom line is you can't trust the data. You can't trust their numbers. They screw up all the time at the CDC. And downstream organizations. Sad, but reality. I mean, right now they want you to believe that like 5 million people in America have COVID or have had COVID. But yet now they turn out and tell you that the numbers, they're not sure which ones are flu numbers versus which one are COVID numbers. Thus, the whole pool of counting the numbers is tainted, to say the least. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis launches what he calls monoclonal antibody rapid response teams, and I guess these I'm trying to think about how to say this technology called monoclonal antibody stuff, the goal is to prevent hospital overcrowding. And I understand Ron DeSantis' agenda on this, but I really don't think it's the responsibility of the government, Ron. And Donald Trump got that antibody monoclonal, is that how you say it? Yeah, monoclonal. Donald Trump got that, and I think it can help people. I really do. But I don't believe it's the only solution. Ivermectin, doxycycline together, other solutions, hydroxychloroquine, MMS, I think is how you say that other treatment, the chlorine CD or whatever, coin decyclate, whatever it is. There's other options, folks, out there. And what we really need to do is focus on all of them, not just ignore all of them and look at vaccines and wonder why everybody's running around, ending up in the hospital. There are early interventions that can be taken. Frontline doctors and many others are speaking out about them. The problem is they're very hard to get a hold of. They're very hard to understand the protocols of what you should do and should not do. It's very difficult. Trust me, I went through this for 20-plus days. I get it. Now, the CDC panel is recommending a third COVID-19 dose for the immune compromised. Well, when your immune compromised, last you need is more and more and more man-made toxins injected into your veins. That's just my opinion, to which I'm entitled. But if the first two aren't successful and safe and effective, then why do a third is what I would ask. And if the first two are effective and safe, as you say, then why do we need a third? Just asking. And they say the average Joe doesn't need a third yet. But you will. But you will. See, when will it be a third and a fourth and a fifth? And when does it become it's not effective and it's not safe and it becomes a cash cow for the big pharma folks? And that's the real debate, isn't it? We also talked about the CDC panel recommends third COVID. Oh, we talked about that. Okay, good. Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. First presidency message on COVID-19. All I can say is this. The Church of Jesus Christ has to put out whatever it feels is necessary, politically speaking. But I'm not fond of or agreeing with it. I don't believe that the vaccines are safe and effective. In fact, I think the evidence points to the contrary. By the way, 27 fully vaccinated people aboard Carnival Cruise Lines tested positive for the coronavirus. So you got 27 people on board with this cruise. They all, to a man, a woman, whatever you want to say, end up with this vaccine. And then they also end up with the coronavirus after the vaccine. How safe and effective is that little experiment, huh? You say, well, by and large, Sam, they're safe and effective. Uh-huh. The FCC, or I'm sorry, the USDA, wow. The FDA doesn't say so. The FDA says they're experimental vaccines on a trial basis. They don't say they're safe and effective. So you know what? Let's argue the truth for once, shall we? Let's tell the truth. They are not safe and effective, and they have not been proven to be so. And you say, well, Sam, there's a lot of people that have had them, and there's not that many people sick. Oh, yeah? Go look at the SARS database. There's a lot of deaths, 12,000 plus to date. And most experts are saying that data is way, 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 way underrated and represented because it's not really doctors reporting it. It's individuals who have adverse reactions. You say, well, that data is not accurate. And my response is it as accurate as the data where you people lie and say over 35 million people in America got the COVID, but yet you don't know which ones are flu versus which ones are COVID? I now have taken my own antibody test that came back negative, taken my own antigen test, came back positive. Fine, do I have the COVID? Great. Which COVID do I have? The original China COVID? The CCP, Communist China Party COVID? Or do I have the COVID that's the special flavor called, what, D? Delta? Yeah, which one do I have? Well, the hospital tells me they can't tell the difference. They don't even know. But then they're running around telling you that everybody's getting Delta now. 85% of the cases are Delta. How do you know that? Answer is lies. They don't know, and they're lying to you. We also talked about Twitter suspends Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene for claiming COVID-19 vaccines are failing. Wow, can she have that opinion in America, or are we just in China now? Thanks, Twitter. They shut me down over similar dishonest lies. Pentagon chief says COVID-19 vaccines will be mandatory for U.S. military by September the 15th or sooner if they get Food and Drug Administration or FDA approval. Wow, so we're just going to go ahead and force it on all the troops even if we don't have a safe and effective statement. And even when you get the safe and effective statement from the Food and Drug Administration or the FDA, do you trust those folks? I certainly do not. Shame, ladies and gentlemen, on Amy Coney Barrett. Declined to block Indiana University's vaccine mandate. Yeah, the high court, she didn't even turn it over to her colleagues to consider. She just simply jettisoned it, stood with the government, rejected it, said the mask mandate stands. Shame on her. What a disgrace for another Donald Trump appointee. That was only hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live. Hour two, we had our guest on, Dr. Daniel Harmon, well, I guess it's not doctor. It's just Daniel Harmon. He's the co-founder and he's the CCO of Harmon Brothers. And we talked about the TuttleTwins.tv, great TV series. My kids love the Tuttle Twin books, and I can't wait to show them this cartoon series, says one family. It's imperative that parents teach the time-tested values of freedom and free markets to their children. And the Tuttle Twins Project is a great way to do that, says Senator Mike Lee. We also talked about, that was an incredible interview with Daniel Harmon. We also talked about drive-in movies could be here to stay. We talked about food pantries are struggling to feed those in need. Our prayers are with that, and help with food, please. We also talked about our guest. We had Lee Borden on, founder of Classical Conversations, classicalconversations.com. Share the love of real education. To know God and to make him known is one of the grand keys, she says. And by the way, she talks about how you can earn your master's degree while you're homeschooling. How do you like that? So you homeschool and you get your master's at the same time. Great job. We also talked about Matt Stavers, Liberty Counsel's group, join the movement to walk out and protest your place of employment or government school. Yeah, every Wednesday, it's called Walk Out Wednesday, folks, to protest mandated vaccines. No one should be forced, coerced, or mandated to take the jab, ladies and gentlemen. Walkoutwednesday.net to learn more about that. Wow, quick pause, ladies and gentlemen. Liberty Roundtable Live with Lowell Nelson in seconds.
Yeah, this is David in engineering.
This is your wife in suburbia.
Oh, hi, hon. What's up?
How's the robot coming?
Well, it doesn't exactly respond to requests yet, but I'm...
Well, I know how frustrating that can be.
You do?
Uh-huh. I'm still waiting for my romantic lunch date.
Oh, yeah.
David.
Well, I must not have enough memory allocated.
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
You know, your son said mama today.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Well, we'll have to have that sound chip changed to Dada.
Well, you could reprogram it yourself, you know.
I know. Hey, why don't we do it over lunch today?
Oh. You really are brilliant.
Thanks. You want me to bring the robot?
David.
He can order pasta in 11 languages.
Only if he pays for his own lunch.
Okay. Oh, don't forget to bring Chip.
I still wish we had named him that.
Well, why? It beats general default.
Oh.
Family. Isn't it about time?
Do you know that a baby processes information 3 times faster than an adult?
An adult what?
Engineer. Funny.
I'll see you at noon.
I can't wait.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, join the movement to walk out and protest your place of employment in your government school at noon on Wednesdays. Walkoutwednesday.net is what it's called, basically saying, hey, you know what? I'm protesting this mandated vaccine crap. It's got to stop. All right, and whether you want vaccines or not isn't the point. You should stand with those who want choice. Whether you choose the vaccine, fine, but you should still stand with those who don't want to be forced and coerced. I mean, even the federal emergency authorization law and the FDA, including the FDA fact sheets, ladies and gentlemen, state unequivocally that each person has the option to accept or refuse the shots. All right. The shots are not licensed by the FDA at all. They're under experimental release right now. Okay? They're under investigative and experimental position right now. They have not been licensed by the FDA. Remember, the Nuremberg Code also states that voluntary consent is absolutely essential. Remember this reality. So whether if you're for vaccines or not, that isn't the point. Let's stand together. Last quick point, and then Lowell, so sorry it's taken long to get to him here. We had a lot to cover since I was off the radio for literally 10 days. But we talked about Mike Lindell's cyber symposium. Sadly, it failed to produce the evidence proving the Chinese stole the November 3rd election. I think Mike Lindell's a great guy. I think he got schnookered. Mike Lindell's own cybersecurity expert admits there's no proof of election fraud. The guy's name is Josh Merritt. calls Lindell's data a turd. So it didn't turn out very well for Mike Lindell, sadly. Now, there are other sides to this story. The problem is I can't find anybody to tell it. Now, I have a couple of talk show hosts that I know well that I think attended. Might be able to provide us some insight, but for the most part, it did not go well at all. Last point, Israel reports 65% of seriously ill COVID patients are currently vaccinated. Israel National News, David Cohen with the piece, 65% of seriously ill COVID patients are vaccinated. Folks, the evidence is coming in left and right. And it's very, very controversial, to say the least. Without further ado, Lowell Nelson, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Well, thanks for having me, Sam. Glad you're back on the air, my friend.
All right. Any comment on any topic before we rock and roll?
Let's rock and roll, my friend.
All right. Equality in slavery is a serious, serious issue. It's not an issue that the average American is talking about right now, sadly. But it is an issue that we really need to discuss because last month, the Senate Armed Services Committee literally approved an NDAA provision. Tell us about it, Lowell.
Yeah, and they do this when other things are occupying our time. In other words, distractions like COVID, like all of the things that are going on, and these are probably worthy of our time, but while these other big distractions are going on, sometimes they'll slip in things into legislation that they hope you won't know about, hope you won't see, hope you won't hear about. This is one of those cases. This NDAA, which is the National Defense Authorization Act, acronym NDAA, this provision requires women to register with Selective Service on their 18th birthday, just as the young men are required to do today. So they slipped this in there. This is the Senate Armed Services Committee. Hasn't gone to a floor vote yet. But if this bill becomes law, Sam, with this provision included, and if a military draft is reinstated, then guess what? Women will be forced to join the military, and America will then truly have equality in slavery. Well, you and I both know it's immoral to force women into military service. Well, it's just equally as wrong to force men into military service. So forcing our young men and women to fight, to kill other human beings, and even die in war is one of the worst violations of individual liberty a government can commit. And so, you know, how can we support military conscription while professing a belief that men are endowed with unalienable rights to life, liberty, and property? That's the big question, Sam. And
the answer is one clear, resounding answer. It is impossible, sir.
It's impossible. And yet all over the country, Sam, people profess their belief in our Declaration of Independence, the belief that we have unalienable rights from God, rights to life, liberty, and property, and yet these very same people are okay with military conscription. So my
not only are they okay with it, but they applaud it.
They applaud it. Yeah, they applaud it. In fact, they recognize and applaud, you know, military, and that's fine to recognize them, but too many of them revel in the destruction of human life. I mean, back when President Kimball said, Spencer W. Kimball talked about the gods of steel and machinery and destruction, He was saying, we are a warlike people. And he wasn't complimenting us. He was chastising us for being a warlike people. We shouldn't be in favor of war. It's just plain and simple. And so we shouldn't, I mean, if there's a reason to defend America, you will have thousands of people, you know, running to arm to defend their lives, their liberty, their property, their homeland. But when you've got the type of military activity going on that's going on today, this nation building, this empire building, this hegemonic activity all over the world, nobody's going to want to join the army, so they have to conscript you. They have to draft you into the military service.
They have to force, bottom line is the word you need to use. They have to force you, Lowell, to carry out their evil bidding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, force is the key word. And so if you believe in force, I'm telling you, in our pre-mortal life, there was another gentleman there who believed in force. He wanted to come down here and force every one of us to be good, to do the right thing. And fortunately, our elder brother Jesus Christ stepped forward and said, I'm not going to force anybody to do what's right, but I will give them the opportunity. I'll give them their agency. I'll teach them right and wrong, help them to know right from wrong, and let them choose for themselves. And that's the plan we followed. So that's why we're here on earth. That's why we have this opportunity to choose evil or good. It's up to you and me, folks. It's up to you and me to decide whether to choose evil or to choose good. And we have it in spades in this provision in the NDAA. I beg of you, call your senators today. Insist that they oppose this element of the NDAA. Do not register women with the Selective Service. And in fact, eliminate this requirement for men.
Sam? Now, let me make one more point to drive this home as blatantly as I know how. When we had the United States American Revolution, were the colonists or the freedom fighters or the Americans, whatever you want to call us at the time, the Continental Army, were they under a forced military conscription program?
Not a single one of them, Sam. That's great point.
And if they were not, and we could beat the biggest army in the world because the cause was just, what makes you think we need to have a government-forced greater cause? Ladies and gentlemen, it is not sustainable. It is dishonorable. It needs to be jettisoned now, and the proof is in the pudding. When we needed the people the most, they delivered. They delivered with blood, sweat, tears, their sacred honor, their fortunes. They literally lived in the elements with bloody feet and died. Disease, struggle, fight, but their cause was just and they knew it, and that was enough to bring them forward. You did not need force then, and you don't need it now. Lowell?
Yeah, in fact, that reminds me, Sam, of the gentleman at Valley Forge, both men and women, but mostly men. You and I both know, we've heard the stories that they were not clad properly. They didn't have enough clothing. They didn't have enough bedding. Some of them didn't have shoes. They were bleeding in the snow in Valley Forge. Now, we know that story, but the part of the story we don't know, that we don't talk about nearly as much because we don't know about it, is that these men were receiving letters from their wives and children at home. And guess what? Their wives and children at home were also starving. They didn't have enough clothing or bedding at their home, and they didn't have enough food to sustain their lives. And so some of these men, yeah, we hear that they deserted, right? I mean, up to 5,000 or 6,000 men left Valley Forge, left the army, and we think, wow, they were wimps. They were not wimps. They were going home to provide for their family because their families were starving, just like they in Valley Forge are starving, Sam.
And many of them, ladies and gentlemen, came back, mind you, after they tended a little bit of home fires and let their families know they loved them and they cared. There was an incredible balance led by Almighty God, not by the force of government. Let's be very clear indeed. Reject. I'm going to say it again. Reject slavery. Reject military conscription for everyone. And do it now.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You- USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The Afghanistan Provisional Government has failed. At least three people were killed Monday at the Kabul airport amid Taliban takeover in the city. The Taliban overran the capital city of Kabul over the weekend as President Biden stayed on vacation. The Taliban are now the 35th largest air force in the world, thanks to U.S. assets left behind. Former ambassador to Afghanistan Ryan Crocker on Bloomberg TV last week says the Afghan government will not survive.
It is beyond disingenuous for the president to say now we've made all these inputs and that's up to them to fight for their own country when he embraced the process and he owns it lock, stock, and barrel, guaranteeing that the government would probably not survive.
The Taliban captured Bagram Air Base on Sunday and released thousands of prisoners, including many senior al-Qaeda operatives. The death toll from Haiti's 7.2 magnitude earthquake climbed to nearly 1,300 people on Sunday. USA Radio News.
Nielsen says more than 30 million Americans are now tuning in to Newsmax TV. It's one of the biggest media stories. Newsmax is available on all major cable systems. And if you cut the cord and don't get cable, you can still get Newsmax. Find it on your smart TVs like Samsung, LG, and more. Just go to your smart TV channel guide or download the free Newsmax app. Newsmax also streams free on Roku, Zumo, Pluto, Amazon Fire, or TiVo. And 7 million people have the Newsmax app on their smartphone. It takes seconds to download it on your phone, and there's no paywall or subscription. So watch Newsmax for breaking news anytime, anywhere. President Trump says Newsmax is really good, and Forbes calls Newsmax a news powerhouse. Find out why tens of millions of Americans are watching Newsmax TV and going to Newsmax.com for breaking news. It's a source you can trust. Newsmax is real news for real people.
Official reports out of Haiti following a massive 7.2 earthquake that struck Haiti on Saturday has the death toll at nearly 1,300. John Clemens from the Texas USA Radio News Bureau reports.
Drones flying over are being used to determine what areas are in the greatest need. We were able to get through to Cara Buck of Mercy Corps in Port-au-Prince.
People are in agony. People are on the streets. So many families are without their homes. Looking for help, looking for shelter.
She describes the hardest hit area in southwestern Haiti.
You know, high rates of poverty as well as hunger. A lot of the structures are, you know, have mud walls, et cetera. So really sensitive to conditions, earthquake conditions.
From the USA Radio News Texas Bureau, I'm John Clemens.
With Tropical Storm Fred gaining strength on the way to the Florida Panhandle, many schools in the area are closed Monday because of the storm. USA Radio News.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, riding shotgun today. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips, and yes, indeed, thank the Lord we are live. Lord willing, we'll be live going forward every single day, telling the tale of freedom and liberty everywhere we go. Can you support military conscription while professing a belief that we have rights to life, liberty, and property? The answer is not even hardly. And I don't mean to spend forever on this, but man, Lowell brought up this topic and invoked a passion within me about this. This is critical, folks. Let's be very clear. If the American Revolution can be fought without government or military conscription, right? Then we don't need slavery in America today. Let's jettison it and let's do it now. Let's hold the moral high ground on this thing. And if the war or the cause is just, people will flock to defend their families, their homes, their sacred honors, their wives, their children. They just absolutely will. And the last point I want to make about this is, you know what? The more unjust the war, the more government or military prescription is necessary to maintain it. The more just the war, the more honorable the war, the more in self-defense, if you will, defending as opposed to offensive war, the less you'll need conscription to make it happen. Lowell, I really want to hammer that point home because it really gauges for the American people, when is a war justified and when is it not? And I'm telling you, the more they need force, the more wicked and the less just the war will be. Every time.
That is a great point, Sam. And there's a number of state legislatures around the country that are considering an act or a bill called Defend the Guard Act. Defend the Guard Act basically is legislation which says that in our states, the National Guard, members of the National Guard, will not and may not be deployed in a foreign combat zone without a formal declaration of war by Congress. It may be in your state. If I were you, I would check with your state legislator in whatever state you live in and encourage them to support a Defend the Guard Act. What will this do? It will send a strong signal to Congress that nobody's going to go fight their war unless they actually declare war, and it will help restore the balance of power in Congress. Right now, Congress has forfeited their ability. They have unlawfully delegated the authority to wage war to the president. The framers never imagined that such would ever be the case. They put that power, that authority, squarely in the hands of the Congress, not the president, and yet the current day Congress has given away that authority. So even if you don't have a Defend the Guard Act in your legislature this coming year, I mean, start talking about it now with your state legislators, and let's restore the authority back to Congress where it belongs. And if they get together, I don't think they have the guts to declare war, which means we won't be out there fighting the wars that are undeclared wars, and we won't be killing other people, and we won't be losing our own young men and women. So, parting
thoughts, ladies and gentlemen, do not. Register women with the Selective Service and eliminate this requirement for men, and do it now. All right. The reason we talked so much about this in detail, a little longer than I expected to, is because you know what the Afghanistan fiasco right now, 20-year war, trillions of dollars, just out of control, and now we've nothing but failed. Just goes to show you that, hey, they didn't have a draft for that one, but they easily could have. And I'm telling you, we ought not be in foreign lands fighting foreign wars that are unjust, immoral, expensive. It's just building the military industrial complex, and it's got to stop. But while that's happening, if they don't want to or if they don't get their way to create military conscription and force you into something, they'll just force you into a lockdown there. The amount of force they can exhibit on people is let me count the ways, sadly. But Jeffrey Tucker breaks this one down big time. Lowell,
that's a great column. Jeffrey Tucker puts forth the idea that an ideology, a political ideology, really has three elements. Now, I've never really thought about ideology in this context, but as I thought about it, as I read the column, it really made a lot of sense, so I thought it'd be worth talking about. The three elements of any political ideology is basically a hell, a heaven, and a transition from getting from hell to heaven. Or put another way, you have an enemy, then you have nirvana, a perfect world, basically, and you have a plan for transitioning from one to the other. And the means of transition usually involves the takeover and deployment of the society's most powerful tool, which is the state. So think about the political ideology of communism, for example. What is the enemy of communism? Well, it's capitalism. Well, and so that's the hell, right? That's what communists believe, that capitalism is a hell, or it's an enemy. And so what is the heaven to a communist? Well, that would be worker control and the end of private property. They don't believe in private property. They want to abolish it. So heaven to them, heaven to a communist, is the abolition of private property. How do they get there? How do you get from capitalism to the abolition of private property? Well, you get there using the force or the power of the state, and you violently expropriate property, private property. The state takes it away from all the private property owners and makes it common. That's the transition plan. Okay, so that's communism. Let's take racism as another example of a political ideology. What is the enemy? The enemy is mixing of the races, right? Miscegenation. What is the heaven? Well, that would be racial homogeneity or purity, right? Kind of what Hitler wanted to do with the Aryan nation, right? He didn't want the sick and the infirm, the mentally ill. He didn't want the Negroes. He didn't want the Jews. He just wanted Aryan pure race. He was one of the biggest racists of our time, huge racist. And so to him, heaven was racial purity. And what was the transition plan? Well, it was to marginalize the sick, the infirm, the mentally ill, the Jews and the Negroes, and then to kill them off. So he spent years laying the groundwork for this, laying the groundwork to marginalize the Jews and the Negroes and the sick and the so forth. And then he was able to kill them off, and he engaged his whole population in that effort because he was marginalized them first. So those are the two examples, Sam, about a political ideology. They always trend totalitarian, right? They trend to use totalitarianism to achieve this transition from hell to heaven. And so before taking on lockdownism as the next political ideology to discuss this morning, Sam, do you want to make a comment or any observations or any insights on this idea that a political ideology has these three elements?
Yeah, I do. You know, and every one of them has this force element in it. It's just government is used, or the state, or whatever you want to call it, is used as the agent of force. But in every one of these examples that you give, force is at the helm. Now, the only contradiction to that would be, hey, the real comparison of hell versus heaven, and God Almighty allowing us to use our agency to choose heaven over hell, to choose Christ over Satan, to decide to use our agency wisely. And I would say that's a liberty ideology. It has no force element to it. It has a desire by patience and kindness and long suffering and leadership and guidance and love and charity and all these words that relate to the Savior's Prince of Peace model that he set forth for us. And so there is a contradiction to all the points made, but it's only one that I know of, and it has its origins in God, family, and country. Has its origins in life, liberty, and property. Has its origins in a political viewpoint. I wouldn't call it an ideology per se. I would merely call it God's plan for the happiness of his children. And that stands in contrast to the elements that government or man might put in place. The difference between God and man is obvious, obviously. But the point that I'm getting at is every other element in all these other plans, the force is the construct of change, of delivering, if you will. Whereas in the plan of God, force is not the element of change. Choice and agency and willingness to obey by one's own dictate of their own conscience. And these things are fundamentally different from man-made edicts and man-made ideologies that would use force as their element. Those would be my comments, Lowell.
Oh, I love that, Sam. Great point. In fact, reminds me of what President Benson said about, or Ezra Taft Benson said about, you know, that Christ changes men's hearts. He changes men from within, whereas society would change the surroundings of men. He would move them, you know, from the slums to the government housing, for example. But God would change the hearts of men, and then men would change their own environment. So it's choice.
It is agency, and it's following the Prince of Peace, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell Nelson with us, campaignforliberty.org. I want to talk about the origins of lockdown, the ideology of lockdowns and where their goals are. I mean, this is one right before our very eyes. It's not abstract. It's real. In your face every day now. And this is Liberty Roundtable Live to take it on your radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Ladies and gentlemen, the latest forced government regime agenda backed by people everywhere who do not love the sacred cause of liberty is lockdowns. They want to lock you down everywhere, baby. Yeah, it is out of control. And the new term for it is lockdownism, lol.
It's a great term, lockdownism. So here's the political ideology. Here's the three components. You got an enemy, you've got a heaven and a transition plan from one to the other. What's the enemy? The enemy is the pathogens running freely and infecting people with disease. I mean, that's the virus, the SARS-CoV-2 virus. That's the enemy. What is the heaven? The nirvana? Well, that's a society managed by medical technocrats whose main job is the suppression of disease, right? This is very plain right before us, ladies and gentlemen. Easy to see. Well, what's the transition plan to get out of the hell of pathogens into the heaven of life without disease, right? That's what they're looking for, life without disease. The transition plan is government-forced mandates to mask, mandates to get the vaccine, antisocial behavior, physical distancing, all of these things. That's the transition plan. And we've had it laid out before for 18 months, and we're still in the thick of it right today. This is, they're not interested in your health. Let's get that straight. Those guys are interested in controlling you. They want you to be subject to them. It's an issue of control. It's a medical tyranny. It's tyranny on steroids is what it is. A political ideology to take you from what they're calling the hell of pathogens to the nirvana of life without disease, and they want to get you there by forcing you into antisocial behavior, into taking a jab, into masking and all sorts of things, right? So that the big lie in this whole thing is this idea that you can avoid the virus, right? If you do the things government tells you, then you're going to avoid getting sick and dying, right? The problem is, Sam, if you do the things that government wants to mandate, then you really have no life at all. What the quality of life, if you can't go to sporting events, Broadway musicals, movies, travel around the country freely, around the globe, then life isn't the same anymore. And so the quality of life just goes down. In fact, this ideology says that the more fun you have, the more disease you will spread. That's the ideology they're promoting right now, Sam, that they're promulgating. But what does God say? He says men are that they might have joy. That's the purpose of life. And so, yeah, life comes with its risks. Yeah, we might die. We might die on the highways. In fact, there's more highway fatalities than there are COVID deaths. Even with the stacked numbers that they stack up for COVID, you know, if you get killed in a motorcycle accident, they say it was a COVID death, right? So even though they're stacking the numbers, still highway deaths outnumber COVID deaths. Are we shutting down the freeways because they want to stop you from dying? No, they're not doing that. They don't care about your health. They don't care whether you live or die. They just want control, and they want to sap every ounce of joy from your life and make it very boring. They want to give you a you know, a biological life, but not a real joyful life. So that's lockdownism. It has all the expected elements. It has this maniacal focus on pathogens, and it excludes every other concern. The least of their concerns is human liberty. They don't care about freedom of association. They don't care about property rights. All of those are subordinated to this technocratic discipline that the disease mitigators are trying to force upon us, Sam. So, I mean, that's the main point of this column. The lockdownism is the new political ideology, and they're using it as a tool of tyranny to enforce their control over you and me, Sam.
And boy, doesn't it have the element of force written all over it. Usually the element of force is quite hidden in a lot of these agendas, meaning that, you know, they could say, well, with communism or socialism or some of these other ideologies, you know, we're ambivalent. We're just the good guys. You don't like our methods, but you know what? We're not really harsh. We're good guys. We want everybody to have things. But when it comes to the lockdownism plan, there is none of that element. They're in your face. In the medical industry now, hey, no vaccine, no compassion. If you're walking into a store and you don't have a mask, they'll literally kick you out or assault you, or the cops will come or whatever. This force is in your face like you've never seen before with a lot of the previous ideologies. They're going for broke. Brian McGlinchey writes an incredible article that backs this up quite well. Lockdowns, masks, and the illusion of control, lol.
I love the example that he put in his column right up front. He talked about the 11th century King Canute. Now, I'd never heard about King Canute, but this is really worth knowing. At the peak of his power, this King Canute, the King of England, by the way, in the early part of the 11th century, he set out to demonstrate to his fawning courtiers the limited power of royal edicts. This is a great story. We don't know if it's true or not. It may be a myth, but here's the story. He asked his throne to be placed at the edge of the ocean. And he sat down in his throne and he commanded the tide to stop rising. Right? Now, when the water began washing over his feet, he then declared this. He said this, quote, "Let all the world know that the power of kings is empty and worthless. And there is no king worthy of the name save him by whose will heaven and earth and sea obey eternal laws," end of quote. Sounds like a humble man to me, Sam, not an arrogant one. And yet, his statement, that which springs from his humility, is very different from the hubris of the present-day ruling class. Big Pharma would have you believe that they can prevent the tide from rising, that they can prevent your catching the virus or your exposure to the virus. Well, Sam, they will be just as effective as old King Canute, because that virus is endemic now. It's not pandemic, it's endemic. It's everywhere. There's no way around it. You can look at graphs of the rising case counts in Japan, the country, probably the model country in all the world of masking compliance, 98% compliance to the masking mandates in Japan. And yet their case counts are skyrocketing worse than everywhere else. It's amazing, Sam. Masking does not work, regardless of what the technocrats, the big pharma, will tell you. Sam?
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The totalitarian ideology of lockdowns, and lockdowns, masks, and the illusions of control. They don't have control, ladies and gentlemen. The only control they have is the control that we let them have. But they might have control over your heart and your mind and your agency, your choices, by propaganda and by force of law. But be very clear about this, ladies and gentlemen. They don't have control of the virus. There's only one person who has control of this virus, and that's God Almighty. And if we literally appeal to the Bible and we turn to God and repent as a people, and individually, families, etc., then you know what? We can have God protect us and heal our land. Think about those phrases, protect us and heal our land. It's in the Bible. And it is one of the great solutions. If you want to take back control, that's how you do it. You don't rely on the arm of flesh and the force of lockdowns. You rely on God Almighty and his promises, which are sure. Let me make that clear, which are sure. There are serpents among us, though. Alan Stipo writes an incredible article making this point, lol.
Yeah, he echoes what you've been saying for years, Sam, and that is we must return to God, like you were just saying. He writes that there are those among us, serpents basically, who want to demoralize us, they want to ruin us, they want to destroy us, and I agree with him. I think their God is the adversary. He says this, quote, "Your child they would mask and enslave, pump with chemicals and enfeeble. Your home they would monitor and invade, leaving no moment of solace, no place to call your own to do with as you see fit. Your marriage they would attack from 40 different directions. Your land they would deny life-giving water. They would number and tax the rain and collect that which fell. They would prevent you from using your own seed in your garden. They would sow your land with salt, if they could, knowing that in a century it would be theirs or in the hands of others like them. They would fill your air with poisons meant to confuse and word meant to do the same." End of quote. That really paints, I think, a pretty accurate picture of what the powers that be want this life to become for us, the common man. Their goal is to rob us of our morality, of our wisdom and our understanding, the very things that will enable us to persevere through the difficult times ahead. But the great thing, writes Steve-O, is that there is an antidote among us. Quote, "The antidote to demoralization is moralization, to make yourself as decent and as upright as quickly and as thoroughly as you can." End of quote. That's the path that you've been encouraging us to tread for years, Sam. Return to God. Obey his commandments. Repent. So Steve-O continues writing, says, there is a way out of this. It begins in your life. It begins in your home. It begins on your land. It begins in your family. It begins with you. He says, separate yourself from all that demoralizes you. Unite yourself with all that moralizes. Be bold. Seek wisdom, make the goal of your life to live each moment more upright, more diligent than the last. You are promised nothing but this moment. End of quote. So basically, Sam, he encourages us to make good decisions, the thing he calls the most excellent decision. With each moment that we have, one good decision followed by another will amount to something great in our lives, in the lives of our family, and therefore communities and country.
That's, and Lowell, I usually have something to add. I usually have something to add to what people say, oftentimes to provide clarity and context and anything else. That's so well said. I have nothing to add except for I agree 1,000%.
Me too, Sam. So last point, I have a friend named Ron. He suggested the addition of the words attempted vaccination to the statutory legal defense against the charge of manslaughter or murder. In other words, if someone comes into your home and attempts to force you to take the jab and you defend yourself by killing the government agent, you should not be guilty of manslaughter. Well, sounded pretty harsh, but it sounded reasonable to me. And then last week, another friend, Bob, suggested that we not provide a pretext for excessive force, but he said what we really need is a prohibition on government to require vaccination as a condition of anything. And so he was saying, well, let's make vaccination status, add that to the list of protected classes. You know, the 1964 Civil Rights Act protects certain classes like race, color, and creed. What about vaccination status? What if businesses couldn't discriminate on the basis of vaccination status? What do you think, Sam?
I think whenever you give government power to make statements like that, you regret it. I think we have God-given inalienable rights to our bodies, and government ought not touch it. And if we can't hold the line from a liberty point of view, we'll never hold the line no matter what law we put in place, sir. It's kind of like another law to balance the budget or another law to make sure I can keep my guns or another law to... Those laws don't help, ladies and gentlemen. If the people are educated and moral and insist on liberty, then we have it. And if they don't, we lose it. And it's that simple of a proposition, in my humble opinion.
I agree, my friend. Thank you so much for letting me talk this morning.
Lowell Nelson, always doing a phenomenal job. CampaignForLiberty.org. Sam and Lowell, God save the Republic of the United States of America.